Good morning, everyone. How deep the Father's love for us, for all mankind. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning. So we are looking at the book of Jonah, and this morning we'll consider from Jonah chapter 1, Jonah, the rebellious prophet. Please turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. Minor prophet Jonah chapter 1. Let us look to the Lord in prayer that he might speak to us. Shall we pray? Our blessed God, our Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that we might come this morning and remember our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for who he is and what he has done. We worship and praise this morning. We sing hallelujah because of the salvation. We give thanks this morning for all that was done for us. And now, as we would look into your word together in Jonah, we ask that you would speak to me and through me, that our hearts might be quickened and that we might purpose to do your will. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jonah chapter 1, we'll be looking through the book of Jonah in coming months. But this morning, we're going to begin with chapter 1 as we look at the rebellious prophet Jonah. I will read, first of all, through the full chapter, and then we will take a look, beginning again from the beginning. So now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for its wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every one unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon your God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of whose what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. Now, many times what we hear this story of Jonah, there are some emphasis, especially for the young and the youth in Sunday school, talk about the miracle of Jonah being in the belly of the fish. I'd like to focus our attention this morning on something a little different. As we read the first two verses, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and the name Jonah means dove. Jonah was the son of Amittai. Amittai was, the meaning of his name was true to God. So we know that Jonah was brought up in a godly home, and Jonah became a prophet of God. He was, he prophesied in the land of Israel, round about the Galilee area, just north of Galilee, and he was a prophet. But the word of the Lord came unto him and said, Arise, go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, which the Assyrians were a pretty fierce and cruel nation. Nineveh was located just off of the Euphrates, I think, the Tigris, one of them, in that area, which is now in northern Iraq. But these people were very fierce, and they were great conquerors and very cruel. And the wickedness of the city, God said, had come up unto him. And he wanted Jonah to go and preach to these people. Now, we see here in verse 2, we see two things that are very important. And those are the two things that I would like for us to focus on this morning. And that is, we see the will of the Lord and the mandate from the Lord, go, arise, go to Nineveh. that great city and cry against it. So we see the will of the Lord in this passage is that the Lord is not willing that any should perish. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Now the wickedness of Nineveh had come up before the Lord. In other words, not that God had not noticed it. God is long-suffering, but it had come to a point where it was time to punish. Now, but the Lord is not desirous to punish. He would rather forgive repentance if there is repentance. That is what he would rather to do. And so he sent Jonah as a mercy to the people of Nineveh. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us." What? In other words, that the Lord is not that he did not see what's going on in Nineveh all this time. It's not that he couldn't do anything about it, but the Lord is patient. Because it says, he is not willing that any should perish. So he would send warnings. And he would call on men and women to repent. And so this is the will of the Lord. We sung the song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," that he should send his son. And the Father sent the Son for the express purpose of being the Savior of the world. One of my most favorite verses from the scriptures. This we know and do testify in the book of 1 John, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So powerful a verse, so concise, and so very important. As we think about the grand scheme of things, as we think about mankind and his relationship to God, as we think from the Garden of Eden, as Adam and Eve rejected their relationship with God, and as they listened to the lie of Satan, and as they chose, and they were plunged, as they rebelled and were plunged into condemnation. And yet, God had a wonderful plan of salvation that was determined before the beginning of time, the beginning of the world. And he executed that plan very patiently and diligently. He sent his son to be the Savior of the world. So that is the will of God. And then we have also the mandate. God says to Jonah, "Arise and go to Nineveh." As believers, we ought to be taking the message of Jesus Christ to people. Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We know that this command is so important that it's reiterated in all of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, commonly referred to as the Great Commission. So the Lord said specifically to the prophet Jonah, "Arise and go to Nineveh." And I can just visualize Jonah that was sitting comfortably in the status quo. You know, he did his religious thing. He prophesied. was a true prophet, so his prophecy would be true, and very comfortable in the status quo. He's become comfortable. But God, who is not willing that any should perish, even though the Assyrians were not Israelites, they were human beings. The world is the target of God's love. And he sent Jonah to preach to the Ninevites. And Jonah knew that these were cruel people. These were rough characters. He did not want to go. But God says to him, arise, get up from here, get busy. Get busy about my will. God is also telling that to us, because God still loves the whole world. The whole world. Remember, this is the whole grand scheme of God's relationship with mankind and how that relationship was broken in the Garden of Eden. And God is willing for this to be restored. And we are his instruments also, even as Jonah was. So the second part, he said, go to Nineveh. So where is God sending you? Where is God sending me? Go to Dallas, go to Plano, go to Denton, go to your school, go to your workplace. Cry against it. Don't just go there and be there, be ready to be a witness. Yes, we are to be ready to be a witness, and we are to be there. But he says, speak up, cry against it. He was not just asking Jonah just to go to Nineveh and be ready to speak. He told him, go up, go and speak. Speak out. Speak against the wickedness. I'd like to turn our attention to Ezekiel chapters 17. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17 through 19. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But this is to us, his blood will be required at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. This is a stiff warning to us, because God's commission and mandate is still there. His will is still that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That requires us to do our jobs, to go and to speak. Let's continue with Jonah. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up and fled to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. So Jonah is acting like he thought that he would escape God's notice. And I say he's acting like he thought that. Surely he knew better. Jonah was a prophet. He knows that God is everywhere. But he tried it anyway. Isn't that just like us? Do you really think that you will escape God's notice? Do I think that? Well, that's how I behave sometimes. Like God's not seeing that I'm not doing what he's asking me to do. What about you? Are you doing his will? Are you obeying his mandate? Jonah's actions led to a downward path away from God. He went down to Joppa and down into the ship. And in verse 5 also, when the calamity came, he was down in the sides of the ship sleeping. Have we been lulled to sleep? Are we just going along, not concerned about the need of the hour? So Jonah went downward, away from what God had him to do. And then verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest in the sea. So the ship was like to be broken. So it's interesting that God did not just say, okay, Jonah, I told you what to do. You didn't do it. I'll just punish you. But God gave him a second chance. God gave him a warning, and he sent the tempest. So that straightened him up. But that Jonah was down in the ship sleeping, not paying any attention. And the mariners were afraid and cried, everyone unto their God, and cast forth whiz into the ship, trying to survive. But Jonah had gone down into the sides of the ship and lay fast asleep. One thing that we see is that when we are disobedient to God, it causes great harm to others and also ourselves. Others and ourselves, because as we look at Jonah disobeyed God, and yet all of these mariners were in peril of their lives. That's something for us to think about when we are not doing our task. We know God's will, and we know the mandate. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he says to us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's continue. Chapter 1, verse 6. So the shipmaster said unto him, what meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon your God. If it be true, if so, that God will think upon us and we perish not. And they said, everyone unto his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for what cause this evil is upon us. And they cast the lots, and they fell upon Jonah. Then they said, tell us, we pray, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? There will come a time when you don't do the task and you don't do what is right, that the peril will come and the people will ask. So Jonah has a second chance to speak up. This time he speaks up and he says, and he said unto them, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord God. Oh, really? Oh, really? No, it still was better to Jonah to speak up at this time, even though he should have done what was right the first time. So maybe we goofed, we messed up, and, you know, let me think about it. That teacher that's in that next room to you, are you preparing yourself? Are you talking? Are you speaking? Your neighbor, the coworker in the cubicle next? Are you doing the task of telling them? What about when they come and ask you, now, are you ready? The Spirit just prompted you and told you, this is it, this is your chance right now. And you're brushing it aside. So Jonah speaks up this time. And he says, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. And then they were exceedingly afraid because he told them, look, he sent me to do this and I'm running away. That's why we have this. So the men were, they didn't really want Jonah to perish. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's see. Verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me into the sea, so that the sea may be calm unto you. For I know it is for my sake that this great tempest is upon you. So the story of Jonah has parallels to the gospel message. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed that we might receive life, Jonah also was sacrificed that the others might live. Oh, 1 John 4:9 says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, that God sent his only Son, his begotten Son, into the world that we might live. God sent his Son so that we might live. So we see this parallel in the scripture, Jonah, of the gospel message. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. They just did not want to see Jonah perish. But Jonah had to be sacrificed. The men of the ship tried very hard to no avail to save themselves. People often try to save themselves spiritually by their own efforts. This is another parallel that we see in here of the gospel message. When we try of our own accord, our own solution, we can get out of this. We're going to have to row a little bit harder. I have to make a little bit more effort to clean up my life. I had to remember to go to church. These things people try, their own efforts, that they might be saved. But just as the men in the ship finally realized that they could not save themselves unless Jonah was sacrificed, so also salvation is impossible without the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. He is the one that brings salvation to us. In Colossians chapter 1 in verse 20, says, speaking of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things on earth or things in heaven, it is through his blood that means he had to die. He took our place, sacrificial death. Titus 3:5. It's not by the works of righteousness that we have done. You can't do enough good to pay the price for your sin. There is not enough good that you can do. But according to God's mercy, that's how you save. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life. They realized that we're going to have to throw him overboard. And they realized that they're dealing with a powerful God. And they figured, well, if we get rid of him, God might punish us also. And they're asking, Lord, please, don't hold us responsible. Because, O Lord, what thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. And so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now, in preparing for the next chapter, it says, now, that's not the end of the story. The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And we know there's much more to that and much more to the significance of the 3 days and the three nights. And we know there's more to come. But for today, we want to focus on our listening to the mandate of the Lord, understanding and obeying his will. Understanding and obeying the will of the Lord. And I'd like to read again from Ezekiel chapter 3. This is application speaking to us, to you and to me. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. Now this is talking to Ezekiel, and he says, unto the house of Israel, but I want you to make that application to you. God's making you a watchman to the house of Denton, the house of Dallas, Irving, to Flower Mound High School, or whichever school you go to. You are the watchman. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord and give them warning from me. People around us are going to hell faster than me. It'll make your head swim when you think, if you can think about it, if you can visualize it, you can see it. And God is saying to us, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, not speakest to warn the wicked. Yes, he will be punished, but I'm going to hold you responsible. His blood's going to be required at your hand. But if you warn him, if he rejects it, yes, he will be punished. But you deliver your soul. I'd just like for us to sing Rescue the Perishing before I close in prayer. I'd like for us to just consider the words of this hymn, 574, and should be projected in just a second. There it is. And prayerfully consider the song and what it's saying to us. Rescue the perishing, care for Lord, give us your eyes that we might see everything that we keep missing. And give us your love for all humanity, all that are dying, all that are perishing, rushing headlong into a Christless eternity. Give us your love. Give us your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.